Good morning. Oh, what a joy it is for us, beloved, to be here in the presence of the Lord, to remember Him in His death, in His burial, in His glorious resurrection. Remember Him as the God of grace and mercy, as was so clearly stated in that story of the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Full of grace and truth. That's our Savior. That's our Redeemer. We're going to talk about Him again this hour, beloved. We're going to read from the book of Revelation in chapter 1. Book of Revelation, chapter 1. We begin to read at verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and of the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto Him that loveth us, and hath washed us from our sins in His own blood, hath made us a kingdom of priests unto God, and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also who pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. The eternality of our God. There was never a time when that God wasn't there. God is the present. Thank you. God was in the past, and God is to come. That's the future. This is applicable to not only God the Father, but God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. The co-eternality, the co-equality, and the consubstantiality of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, eternal. One of the smartest men of our time, they tell us, Carl Sagan. That's what they tell us. He said of the cosmos, that's all there is. That's all there was. And that's all there ever will be. It's not because we don't believe we change the facts. Excuse me. We believe, and the Bible states very clearly, that God is the God of the present. He's the God of the past, and He's the God of the future. We need to believe, as the Bible states, beloved, that without faith it is impossible to please him. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One atheist teacher attacked a young believer, in his class and tried to intimidate him. Very beginning of class, that early morning, he turned to this youngster and says, "You define God." The youngster trembling, of course. And he began by saying, "God," with trembling in his voice, "God is." And he couldn't remember anymore. He couldn't say anymore, but he need not say anymore. God is, whether we believe it or not. God is. He is the very present God. When Moses was reluctant in going to Egypt, began to look for ways that he might avoid what God has given him to do. He said to God, "When I go to your people, and they shall ask me concerning our God, concerning their God, what is his name? Whom shall I say has sent me?" I can quote it, but I want to read it. And I want you to read it too. Exodus chapter 3. In verse 13, now Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent to me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." He said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." A very present God. God is. A very present God who had come to fulfill his covenant with the posterity of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. A very present God who had come to deliver his people. "Tell them, I am hath sent me." God is. It's this very Moses in Psalm 90 tells of the eternality of God. And this is what his words state, beloved, in Psalm 90. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." God is. God was. And God is to come. You know this vision that John had on the Isle of Patmos? It was to record, it was to witness and to record things that are past and things that are to come. No wonder it is called the revelation of Jesus Christ, who is and who was and who is to come. Our present God, God is. Again, we have the words of Moses. You know, Moses is the one who records most of whatever happened in the beginning. God gave him that revelation. And before God took him, he would utter words like these to the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy 33 and 27, it says, "The eternal God is." The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And then again in Psalm 46, we're looking at the fact that God is present God. And we know this portion very well. This is how the psalm begins. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is. Verse 3 says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts. Verse 11 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. I am Alpha, none before. I am Omega, none after. God is. He is God from eternity to eternity. But we need to understand, beloved, that whatever our circumstances might be, whatever we are going through, we are never alone because God is present. He is present. He is a very present help in trouble. You know, the book, the prophecy of Ezekiel begins with the vision of God. And so many things happen in between. But I want to read to you how it ends. How it ends. The prophecy of Ezekiel, the very last word, after describing all the dimensions and the locations and all these things of the eternal city. The eternal city. Verse 35 of the last chapter 48 says, it was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The thing that makes heaven what it is, beloved, is that it is the presence of the Lord. The Lord is there. You and I, we're going to glory. We're not going to go up there to search for anything and to search for Him, because He Himself shall come and take us there. The Lord is there. We say so often and so confidently because that's what the Lord Jesus taught us. But where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He is a very present God. He is there all the time. Verse 18 of this revelation, it says, behold, I am he I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. God is. It also says, beloved, God was. God was. There can never be, there was never a time when God did not exist. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the book of Genesis begins this way: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. Now a lot of people don't believe that. I believe we just got here by chance, and everything here, all this universe, I guess Carl Sagan believed that too. It just happened, just exploded, and we, all this orderly universe happened. Well, I'm not as smart as he is, but I don't believe that. I think I'm too smart to believe that. I'm so limited by knowledge. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God was. But John, you know, I don't know of anyone who has thrilled our hearts so much as speaking of the deity of Christ, apart from maybe Paul the Apostle, as John. He had a close-up relationship with the Lord Jesus. And he spoke of him as the eternal Son of God. This is how he begins his gospel, beloved. It says, in the beginning was the Word. God was. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ in his incarnation. He said further, the Word, this eternal Word, became flesh and tabernacled among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We heard of grace and truth this morning, concerning the woman caught in adultery. Grace. Neither do I condemn thee. Truth. Go and sin no more. And John gives us this unique perspective on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was more than just the child that was born. He was the Son that was given from eternity. That's what he said in his gospel. This is what he says in his epistle. God was. In 1 John, this is how he refers to the Lord Jesus, the one who came down and veiled himself in human flesh. That which was from the beginning. He was from the beginning, he was. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. In the beginning was the Word. And he gave expression to person of God. For the life was manifested. This is an incarnation. And we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He always was with the Father. He was daily his Father's delight. He was from the beginning. God, who at sundry times, we read in the book of Hebrews, and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. John writes, this is the revelation of John, he says, he is Alpha. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking. He is I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come. You know, he's coming again, whether we believe it or not. You know, we would have to do with him whether we want to or not. There is no way we can avoid him. He is and he was and he is to come. In the book of Proverbs, I know you know this. It's a little lengthy reading, but just a few verses. I'm going to read it. The book of Proverbs, like I said, everybody knows this. I gotta read my Bible with a lot of notes I have here. I can't even turn a page. Everything is falling apart. Anyhow, in Proverbs in chapter 8, we're talking about the one who was and how it relates to our Lord Jesus Christ. And beginning in verse 22, it says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea its decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. In the prophecy of Micah, beloved, God was, the Lord Jesus was. We read this often around the Christmas season. Thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the regions or the nations, yet out of thee shall come forth he that shall be ruler in Israel. And it speaks of him as the one who always was, he says, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. I don't know what you're reading, and your Bible might say ancient times, but no, it's from eternity. You know, Job is from ancient times, and Abraham is from ancient times. No, he is from eternity, from eternity, from everlasting. He always was. When he talked to those critics there in John chapter 8 and told them if they believe they will never die, and they said, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Moses? I mean, Abraham is dead, the prophets, are they all dead, and you are saying they shall never die? Who do you think you are? Well, he gave them a hint. He said, you know, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Oh, now they're ready. You know Abraham. You're not 50 years old yet, and you know Abraham. And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. I am. The very present God, the God from eternity to eternity, I am the self-existent one. Always was. Speaking of him in creation, his superiority to all prophets, to superior to the angels, and the writer to the Hebrews tell us superior to all. He says, for the sake of time, we just have to read the connecting verses here. But unto the Son, that's God speaking. Unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou Lord, speaking to the Son, thou Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. In the beginning, God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall become old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. He who is, he who was, and he who is to come, the Almighty. He's coming. He's the God of the future. He's the God of the present, yes. He's the God of the past, yes. But he is the God of the future. And this is how the book of Revelation ends, beloved, telling us that he is the God of the future, and with him we will have to do. 22 and 7 says, behold, I come quickly. He's coming. Whether we believe it or not, is coming. I come quickly. Verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega. That the beginning and the end, the first and last words of the Greek alphabet, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. The first and the last. None before and none will succeed him. The first and the last. And verse 20 says, he who testifieth these things saith, surely. I come quickly. Amen. And the rest of us says, even so, come Lord Jesus. He is to come. He's coming back, beloved, not now to be crucified. He's not coming back in humiliation. We have that story well told and well documented in the Gospels. That's not why he's coming back. Not in humiliation anymore. He's coming back in power and great glory. He's coming back to judge the world. Yes, he's coming back to judge the world. That was the message that Paul preached on Mars Hill. When the Epicureans and the Stoics were framing, making handmade gods, say, these are your gods. He says, the Godhead is not made like that. That's not the Godhead, he says. Fashioned with man's hands. And so at the time of that ignorance, God overlooked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day. He's coming again. The God of the future, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, concerning which he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. Don't believe in the resurrection? You're going to see the resurrected Lord. He's coming to judge the world. Beloved, he is coming for the saints. For the saints. For you and me. Maybe we didn't state that proper chronologically, but he's coming for the saints. He's coming to the air to take his people home. He's coming to raise those who are dead in Christ, and he's coming to change those of us who are alive, and together we shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming again. He's the God of the future. He's coming for his saints. He's coming with his saints. We read in Revelation 22, to give rewards, reward them. To give every man according as his work shall be. Here he's coming with his saints. The marriage supper of the Lamb has taken place. The judgment seat of Christ has been accomplished. Now he's coming with his saints, coming back to earth. God of the future. So the angels would say to those in Acts chapter 1, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, God of the future, this same Jesus, he is coming again. This same Jesus who you have seen taken up shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven, coming back to the earth. He's coming to judge the world in righteousness. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he's coming to take vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. To reject him will have serious consequences. You can't just dismiss him. You can't just say he doesn't exist and all is well. You have to face him. You can face him as a loving Savior, gracious Savior who is willing to save you right now. Or you can face him as a judge, but you cannot avoid him, because he will have the last word. He is the God of the future. Not only is he coming back for his saints and coming back with his saints and coming back to judge the world. But he's coming back to earth to establish his kingdom. His millennial kingdom. Yes, he shall reign on this earth. He shall reign. He shall reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. Isaiah 32:1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. That refers to the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant that the Lord Jesus will sit upon the throne of his father David. That was the message of the angel in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 or 2. The Christmas story. He shall reign upon the earth. He will establish his millennial kingdom. And those who rejected him, and those who judged him and said he was worthy of death, now it's his turn. And he's going to judge the world. The Lord Jesus is that coming judge. But he's coming to set up his kingdom, beloved. And I love it when I read in Psalm 24. This is not the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This is not the Jesus, the Nazarene that we see in the Gospels, beloved. This is the King of kings and Lord of lords. This is the one who holds the title deed to the earth. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Open up those gates. Those gates will open up. One whose right it is to reign shall enter. He's coming to establish his kingdom. His millennial kingdom. Again, we pay special attention to Isaiah 9 and 6 and 7, Christmas time. But it's more than just the Christmas story. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of his kingdom and peace, there shall be no end. No end. No end, beloved. He shall reign forever and ever. Coming to establish his kingdom. But also he's coming. He's coming to save the elect. Yes, his coming has consequences and benefits for Israel too. Not only for the church, when he comes back to earth, for Israel too. For he shall gather them from the four winds of the earth. He shall save the elect. And we have the reading there, if you're interested, in Matthew 24. After the tribulation, after the time of Jacob's trouble, then he shall come. And he shall gather them. And the Bible says, then shall all Israel be saved. And those who said, as we were reading this morning, away with him, crucify him, we will not have this man to reign over us. Those who said, his blood be on us and on our children. Those who said, we have no king but Caesar, they shall embrace him. As he regathers them. And again, they shall hail him as the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah said, can you? He's coming to save the elect, to save Israel. Then shall all Israel be saved. I think that's all we have time for, beloved. Our God, the eternal God, he is
He was and he is to come. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's our Lord. It's true of the Father. It's true of the Son. It's true of the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Co-equal and co-eternal. That's our God. That's our Lord. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, past, today, and forever. God bless his word. It's good to be with you, beloved. Father in heaven, we thank thee for bringing us together again today. We thank thee for the privilege of remembering our blessed Redeemer, the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, and proclaiming his death until he comes. We thank thee for giving us thy word and enabling us to share the one with the other, the things concerning thyself. We are grateful that our God is the great I am, the very present God. We thank thee that our God is the creator of heaven and earth, the God of the past. We thank thee that our God is the God who will come and will not tarry. We ask thy blessing on thy people here, thy blessing on thy people everywhere, and ask that thou remember those on the prayer list. We just commit them all to thee and to the word of thy grace. Watch over us as we part the one from the other, Lord. Take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. And may we have a great appreciation for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and give thanks in his precious name. Amen.